I want you to go to John 2. We have a whole series that God gave us on the blessing that's in the water. And it's amazing how he's bringing us back right at the time of birth. Because God doesn't do anything unless he puts it in the water. Do you know that, right? You came out of water. The whole earth, he called it out of the water. He had it under the water. Then he resurfaced it again. The fountains came up out of the water, and that water came up over the earth. And then he formed man out of that clay that was in that water. See, everything he does is out of the water. Amen. Even Christ, before he was ordained, he had to go into the water. Elijah through the water. Coming out of Egypt, through the Red Sea, into the Promised Land, through the Jordan. Always dealing in water. Amen. God deals with the waters. Amen. And so, we're here in John 2. We've been talking about the life. And in every chapter, John is revealing the mysteries of the anointing of fullness, or the mantle that's without measure. John is revealing it, by far the greatest revelation of the anointing without measure. Christ walked in it, and John revealed the three major facets of that mantle is the life, the love, and the union with the Father. Those three operations, all of those mysteries are in John. Almost every single chapter deals with the life. He said the life was manifested and we beheld the life. We beheld the glory. In him was life. It was the first man born alive in 4,000 years, born real alive. Everyone was born, but they weren't born alive. They were born because death had passed upon all men. That's why in John 5, when he said, as the Father has life in himself, he gave to the Son to have life in himself. And he said, now is the time that the Father's revealing to me the greater works, and greater works he is showing unto me. And here were the two greater works. He said, the dead would hear the voice of the Son of God. Everyone was dead, Jew and Gentile alike. He was speaking of the whole planet was spiritually dead. And they had all inherited it from Adam. The Jews had the covenant with God. In fact, they couldn't even go to heaven. When they had to go wait in Abraham's bosom, a place that God had evidently created in the belly of the earth, and they could see over into the chasm of hell, but there was a great gulf between them because Luke said there was, and the rich man, when he died, said, send Lazarus and me dip the tip of his finger in water to cool my tongue. I'm in torment in these flames. But they were in a very comfortable place that God had prepared for them until the Lord came out of the grave. That's why he said, led captivity captive. The first place he came is went and preached to them. In fact, he released a whole bunch of them. Evidently, there was a whole bunch of them that got resurrected bodies because they started running around Jerusalem right at his resurrection, and he led them up into heaven. The other ones are going to wait. They're waiting on the second resurrection, which is the second greater work. And he says, and all that are in the graves will hear the voice. He said, the hour is coming. He didn't say that now is. When he said the hour is coming, now is, that the dead would hear the voice of God. He was speaking that this is the generation now that the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God. And you will live. Your spirit's going to pass from death to life. I'm going to initiate, he said, the law of the Spirit of life. And that law with the Holy Spirit is the governor of that law. He's going to recreate a brand new spirit in you. But Christ had to purchase that law. And now the same life that was working in him is working in us now. Amen. And John's giving a revelation of this life throughout the book of John and its capacities and the full capacities of this life to pour out. And then the second greater work, he says that all that are in the graves will hear the voice of the Son of God. He's speaking of the resurrection to come, where the bodies that are in the graves are going to all be wakened. The dead in Christ will rise first, their bodies will rise, and then we that remain, which is our generation, say, I am generation resurrection. We're going to be called up in the air. Hallelujah. And our body in a moment's time. Think about the power of the law of the Spirit of life. It has two major programs running in it already, pre-programmed. One, born again. But he said that glory that he's going to clothe us in was the glory what? Within. It's coming out of the law of the Spirit of life, and it's going to immediately close your body. In a moment's time, that law will overcome death. Just think about this. Every dead person, every body that's dead in the grave, or everyone's wearing this body of flesh, will immediately take on resurrection in a moment's time. That law will initiate like that. The law of the Spirit of life. So that's what I want to talk to you about tonight. So When Christ said, as the Father had life in himself, why don't you see John 2? I want to focus on this one. John 1 was the revealing of the life. Almost every chapter is revealing life. It's amazing. Even the waters of Bethesda. You know, the angel came and stirred those waters. And so Jesus, I believe, just went and took the worst case scenario. The guy 38 years on a bed. 38 years laying around that pool at the end of his life. And he was trying to get in because he needed it. But when the angel would stir the water, somebody else would jump in before him because he had nobody to take him in there. So Jesus came to him and said, "Will thou be made whole?" He goes, "Well, there's nobody who'll put me in the water." And Jesus basically said, "I am that water. I am the living waters." He said, "Rise, take up your bed and walk." Isn't that awesome? And that's the same chapter. He says, the Father has life in himself. He gave the Son to have the life. This life is more and greater. And this is very important. It's greater than anything we have already predefined it to be. It's not just a wellspring of life where we walk around with jubilee. It has that in it, but it has a whole lot more. These waters overcome death. These waters can overcome the systems of the world. These waters can overcome generational dysfunction, generational iniquity. It can overrun. It'll overcome anything that the law of sin and death exposed the earth to. Sickness, disease, infirmity, poverty, debt, lack, need, destruction. These waters, wherever they go, will overcome in an immediate notice. He's going to give the mystery of the ages here. I mean, the Lord knew. You understand, a lot of John's miracles were demonstrations of who he was. There were demonstrations, and those miracles were very, very specific in their demonstrations to reveal who he was. And this one was too. This was the first where he manifested his glory, and it was very, very detailed. If you look at verse 7 in John 2, it said, Jesus said unto them, I love talking about the water, because the living wellspring of life is now ready to break forth and burst forth into our generation. To understand the capacity of every single believer on the face of the earth, you're about to understand who you are in this generation and what God has put inside of you. Said Jesus said unto them, fill the water pots with water. The water pots were made of clay. And the Bible said there were six of them, the number of man. He's speaking of you. See, you're the water pot. You have this treasure in the earthen vessel, temple of the living God. But here's what makes it work. What we're trying to do is get the creative life of God out of us, but for creative life to flow, living water must be present. Amen? For creative life, living water must be present. Otherwise, we go to the regulated anointing that's in measure, and you're not going to get these kind of miracles we're going to show you tonight. Unless we get to this level, and this is where God's moving us now, to break the fountain open. Say, fill the water pot with water. And they fill them up where? Oh, 20% is enough. No, no, no. These waters have to overtake you. Ezekiel gave us the picture of this kind of baptism where he said you walked out. In fact, those, he gave you the picture where these waters are going. So he says, as Ezekiel said, he goes past the ankles, past the knees, past the loins, past, already said, then waters to swim in. And it was very clear. He said, waters that have gone over my head. What is that? Baptism. That's the filling up of the brim, the submersion into the living waters. Even the Lord understood John wasn't going to be able to sprinkle water on him. He said, no, John, you have to put me under. This is the representative of my death and everyone else's crucifixion too. Because legally, I got to introduce a new covenant. And to introduce that covenant, I got to die and I got to bring a whole race of people down into the Jordan with me. That's where he did it legally. On the cross he did it, but that's where it happened. Once he did that, he was bound to the cross, but he went into submersion. That's where we get our Jordan River thing we do. When it was filled to the brim, he said to him, now, watch this, draw out. Now, draw out the water, and that's when it became wine. As soon as that water was drawn out, the Holy Spirit was present. Now, I know people believe that's the water, but listen, the water was Christ. It was the life. As the Father had life in himself, he gave the Son to have life in himself. Amen? And then the Son, in the Holy Spirit, he's the one that's executing dominion. He took that water, say, took the water, and he transformed it to wine. That's what he does. So go to Luke 6. I'm going to show you this. Let's look at verse 17. The Lord knew this mystery. He says, as I live by the Father, so you'll live by me. See, he knew how to live by the Father. See, the Father had eternal life. John was opening the revelation of the eternal life. See, we always say, oh yeah, I'm saved. Listen, you're a whole lot more than saved. And you're a whole lot more. You used to be a sinner. And you're not a sinner saved by grace. You are a sinner that was saved by grace. Now you're a son manifested with the law of the Spirit of life living up inside of you that already initiated its power against the spiritually dead nature you were born with. And you already passed from death to life. But you're not just saved. Amen. You've got this life up inside you, and the Lord has a lot to say about what's up inside of you. Amen. What we have to do is learn how to open the veil, open the well, get it flowing, amen, get it bursting forth, amen. Okay, Luke 6, verse 17. Now he came down with them and stood with them in the plain, and the company of his disciples, John 2 right here. It's just a representation of the water flowing out. And the great multitudes of people out of all Judea and all of Houston and all of Galveston and all of Austin, Texas, and all of Dallas, Texas, and all of Baytown and Louisiana too. And from the seacoast of Galveston and Tyre and Sidon, they came to hear him. And to be healed of their diseases. And they that were vexed with unclean spirits, they were healed too. And the whole multitude sought to touch him. For there went virtue. Where did it go? Out of him. The virtue, the word went, it means to proceed out and spread abroad, is the strong concordance. To proceed out. There were virtue. There was something up inside of him that went out. Amen. And as soon as it went out, it healed them all. That virtue was the life. Ezekiel 47 said, whithersoever this river flows, everything that's dead will live. And that virtue broke out from him, and they were all healed because he had it on him. Now, if you'll back up, you'll get a little picture of what's going on with the Lord in verse 12. And it came to pass in those days that he went out or up into a mountain to pray and continue all night in prayer to God. That was before this revival. What do you think was happening when he was in prayer? He wasn't up there begging his Father. He was joining in union with the Father. And the Father was taking the eternal life that's in himself. The life that can overcome the systems of this world. Death, depravity, darkness. And he was filling him with his life. I don't know this, but you can't prove it either, that it didn't happen. We don't know that the Mount of Transfiguration wasn't a common event for him at all. It could have been common all the time. We got a glimpse into when he met with his Father, and his Father overshadowed him. It filled him up to where his countenance was like the lightning of the sun in its strength, and it filled his body, and that glory was breaking out through him. That was the manifested life. The manifested resurrection life that was within him, breaking out in visible form. Now, we don't know if that didn't happen or did happen, but we do know that whatever was happening, he came out with a water pot that was full. He came out ready to deliver. He didn't come out half-baked. He didn't come out with 10% water in his cup, wishing, hoping God would show up. He came out all night, but I can imagine his prayer session was a bit different than ours. His prayer session was full. He was joining. He was in the living Father. He loved to be with the Father because he was partaking of the divine nature of his Father, but he had to do it like you and I did. The Son can do nothing of itself. myself. I can only do what I see the Father doing. But he was in the Father all night long. He didn't even sleep that night. He was up in the life of the Father, and God was filling his water pot up, getting him ready to pour virtue out of him. And that virtue, when he come down off of that mountain, he'd been with the Father all night. His water pot was full. He was full of the glory and full of the life and full, and all of a sudden he had the substance on him, see. When you talk to revivalists, when they get in their prime, if they don't become a part of the machinery in their prime, especially when they first birth in, when you read about them or talk to them, they come and understand how to get prepared for what they're doing. They already know what's going to happen before it happens. It's not going to take them by chance. They know it's going to be explosive because they're wearing something. Amen. And that's what we're going to do, is learn to release something. But we're going to get to the place where we're filled to the brim. Amen. We're going to unlock the wells of salvation. Jesus said it like this in John 4, another revelation to the woman of Samaria. If you knew who you were speaking to, you would ask him of living water. He said, listen, the water I'm going to give you is going to be a wellspring of water that's going to spring up. It's going to bubble up continuously within you. It was designed. In fact, the word that's speaking of that water, the way he says it, he said it will spring up continuously within you unto eternal life. In other words, it was designed to be a fountain released in us in the early days of our Christianity. And that fountain of living water, the law of the Spirit of life, the waters were going to well up, overriding dysfunction, overriding the realms of the soul, overriding falling emotions, overriding the heaviness of the flesh, overriding. It was going to spring up every day in our life, all the way to the day we step out of this body into eternity. That fountain knows no boundaries. It has no boundaries. It's eternal in its nature. And all we have to do is learn how to open it up. But the Lord obviously knew how to do that, because he was praying all night to his Father. He come off that mountain and virtue, it flowed out of him. See, when you get full enough, it'll flow out. John 7 said it like this. Jesus said, he that believeth on me, out from his innermost being will flow rivers of living water. This speak of the ministration of the Holy Spirit. Because once those waters get to the point where they're overflowing, the Holy Spirit is going to begin anointing the living waters with dominion in the earth. And as he anoints the waters with dominion, everything that's dead, like they did, it said all were healed. This is the secret of how the creative realm works. That creative realm has to come off and from that law of the Spirit of life. John was giving that revelation of how those living waters would break out from within us. Amen. Spring up, oh well, and break out. Now the Bible says that word is a hammer that breaks and shatters the rocks in pieces. Listen, there might be some things within us that's keeping that water. The Bible said he cleaved the rock in the wilderness and the waters broke forth. Go to 1 Corinthians 10. So we identify the waters. We understand the power of these waters. We understand what's in the water. Now, sometime God just doesn't burst that fountain open because he's wanting to put something up inside your water. Amen? Like a baby. Do you women understand that? Women get pregnant. They carry that in a womb of water. We were all carried in a womb of water. A woman was divinely pregnant, but that baby formed in that womb in that living water. As that baby was formed in living water, they were carried in the womb. We carry something in the womb. Just because somebody can't see it does not mean it's not inside of us. But God has something he's been forging for a long time. He put the crown in the waters. He put the government in the waters. He put the final last day government in the water. Amen? Now all of that is up in these waters. And it's ready to burst out. If you look at the scripture, before we go to 1 Corinthians 10, go to John 7:37. In the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, John 4, he said, he who drinks of this water, he'll not have to thirst again. See, he's going to quench your thirst first. He's going to fill you first. He said he invites you to come and drink first. It's not out of first, it's in you first. It's first you got to drink. First your thirst has to be quenched. First you've got to get filled with the water. Satisfy. Overflowing. Amen. And then, he that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out from his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Now, we spoke about this yesterday. The scripture never said that. There is no scripture anywhere that says out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. Obviously, there's something he's referring to, but there is no scripture that says out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. But the Lord said, as the scripture has said, out of your belly. So his interpretation of something that was said, he was obviously quoting from something that had been said. And he didn't say river, he said rivers. Out from your innermost being flowing rivers. He that believeth on me, this spake of the Holy Spirit. He was saying that he already gave a description of these rivers that would flow out from your innermost being. It was already spoken. It was already prophesied. And he was referencing. I found four references to what I believe he's speaking about. The first one is Proverbs. Proverbs 4, guard the heart with all diligence. For out of your innermost being, or out of the heart, floweth the issues. Or that word issues is well springs of life. So guard the heart out with all diligence, for out of it would flow the wellsprings of life. He could be referring to that. The second one he referred to is all three of these speak of the same thing. Ezekiel 47, Zechariah 14, Joel 3. These three are the same. Ezekiel 47 river, he said the waters broke out from the foundation of the right side of, or from the east gate of the temple, from the foundation. You know what the east gate is, right? Okay, this is north this way, right? East is to the right, correct? That's right side. Breaking out of the right side, right hand, but out of the foundation. Said from underneath the temple. What's underneath the temple? If you're the temple of the living God, what's underneath you? A rock. A stone, the foundation stone, Christ in you, hope of glory. It broke out of Christ in you. It broke out from within, but it was underneath. It was in the foundation that the waters proceeded out. They went out, and he took him out into the waters into a full baptism. Once there was the baptism, it's NIV or one of those translations says, whithersoever this double river floweth, whithersoever the double, say double river. I mean, when the God got my attention with that double river in the early days, he said everything that's dead would live again. Then he talked about how the fishermen would stand upon the sea of En-Gedi and Igliam, and they would cast their nets out. And the Bible says a great multitude of fish. There was evangelism in these waters. There was mass conversion in these waters. Multitudes were being saved out of these waters. There was definitely manifestation of creative miracle signs and wonders because of the water. Everything that's dead, everything these waters touched that was in the world started conforming to the image of heaven on earth. These waters had a capacity to bring life and glory into the earth and create an environment like it was in heaven. There were trees and the fruit and manna and things were growing and everything that was dead was turning to life. Amen. And now those waters are the exact same waters spoken of, we know, in Zechariah 14. We'll go to Zechariah 14. We'll just read that one together. And then the third one was Joel 3. Speaking in definitely talking about the last days in Joel 3. And he says a fountain would burst forth from the Lord's temple. Well, where's the Lord's temple? You are. We are. It's going to come out from his people. It's the glory within that's going to be revealed. Amen. This fountain is going to burst forth in the last days. And this fountain's going to cover the earth with life and glory and grace. Amen. If you read in here, he'll make references of the last day, like verse 10, it shall come to pass, everyone that's left of all nations came to Jerusalem, You go up from year to year to worship. He's actually speaking of the last day, and he actually gets into, I think, the Battle of Armageddon here. But before this, in verse 8, I want you to see this. Yeah, see, verse 4, he's talking about his feet shall stand on the day of the Mount of Olives. So he's taking and identifying the timing of this water that's going to burst forth. It's a last day river. Now I want you to look at verse 8, and it says, it shall be in that day, in that time frame, in that last hour is what he's saying. He already identified the day he was speaking of. He said that the living waters, this is the same river, by the way, of Ezekiel 47, the exact same river. He said that the living waters shall go out from Jerusalem, out from the temple, Ezekiel describes it. Notice this, he said, because it said in Darby a double river, half of them towards the former sea and half of them towards the hinder sea. Now, if you look at the translations, it'll tell you which sea he's speaking of in these days. He said, New King James will say, in that day it shall be the living waters shall flow from Jerusalem, half of them towards the eastern sea, half of them towards the western sea. He's talking about half of them will flow to the Dead Sea. The other half would flow to the Mediterranean, or the, what other words they called the Mediterranean, the Sea of Commerce. Isaiah prophesied and said, the wealth of the seas will be converted to thee. That wasn't the Dead Sea. The Dead Sea didn't have any wealth. He's talking about the Sea of Commerce, the Mediterranean. That's what fed the Nile. That's what fed Rome. That's where all the wealth was coming out of that whole sea. If you look at it, it fed Rome and fed the Nile down in Egypt. That was where all the commerce came through. And that's also, for those who have ears to hear, ready for this, where the King of Tyre was set up. Anybody heard the King of Tyre? The devil himself describes the King of Tyre when Solomon's gates were broken. Tyre, the King of Tyre, set up the trading mart of the nations there in Tyre, and they traded, and all the wealth of Solomon and all the commerce and the whole trading system ended up shifting over into Tyre. And then the devil came and stood over that city that they spread fishnets upon and says, I am king of this city. And he spoke of Lucifer himself. And that's Ezekiel 26, 27, 28. Ezekiel 28, he called himself the King of Tyre. And he says, you walked up and down the stones of God. Well, the Bible had specific prophecy that God would visit Tyre in the last days. And her wealth would be converted. And it would go towards those that dwell before the Lord. That the King of Tyre would be dethroned in the final days. And that all was sitting, Tyre sits upon the Sea of the Mediterranean. It sits on the right, I believe it's above Jerusalem, but it sits upon the Sea of the Mediterranean. The King of Tyre set up his whole system, and that was all the wealth of the seas. Now what he's saying at these waters, half of them are going to go to the Dead Sea, and everything would live, but then watch this, the other half would go to the western, the Mediterranean Sea, the Sea of Commerce. They that go down to the sea, the Bible says, they will do business in great waters. They see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. They're not talking about the Dead Sea, because nothing lived in the Dead Sea until God awakens it. God's going to awaken the dead in the last day. But the Sea of Commerce is the global system that these waters are going to flow into in the last days. Speaking of the dominion of these waters over the commerce system of Mammon. And they're going to flow and they're going to convert the seas. And the King of Tyre, his whole system is going to collapse. Once again, I'll shake the heavens and the earth, the sea and the dry lands, and the treasures of all nations shall come into my house. That's the waters releasing. See, the crown is going to be delivered out from the waters. And when those living waters, you have to understand these living waters have the law of the spirit of life, and the law of the spirit of life can overcome death and anything that death created. The law of sin and death created the systems of this world, debt, poverty, need, destruction. and sickness, infirmity, disease, systems of the world were all created out of that law. These waters have preeminence over that law. And so wherever they go, there's an immediate conversion. And when they break out, there's an immediate conversion of the living waters for heaven's manifestation. And that's what the Holy Spirit's doing. And that's what He's going to be here as the seven spirits of God, converting these waters, transforming the earth, causing a massive transformation of the earth. Demonstration out from within. That's all. These waters are in us. They're in you. He already said they're going to come out, and all that are in a grave are going to hear. And these waters are going to release. This law of the Spirit of life is going to release again, and everything's dead is going to immediately live. Already said that, right? But we also see what He also prophesied when Jesus said, "He that believeth on Me, out from his innermost being will flow rivers of living water." Spoken of in Ezekiel 47. Spoken of in this chapter as a double river, which we've been talking about. And spoken of Joel, saying, because in the last day, the fountain will burst forth from the Lord's temple. It has to have the double river. Now understand that. It has to have the effect of the double river. It has to flow into the sea of commerce in the last days. It has to have the demonstration in the last days of the crown, because the systems of this world have to be shaken down. Why? Because the King of Glory is coming in to demonstrate He is King over the earth and all resources. In the kingdoms of this world, all must bow to the kingdoms of our God. Amen. So when He said, out of your innermost being would flow, we see in John 2, when He's speaking of this miracle, we're going to get the water, fill the water pots full of water. And then we'll draw it out. And when we draw it out, He takes us to John 7, which is Ezekiel 47, which is Zechariah 14, which is Joel 3. And these waters all have the capacity to cover the entire earth and flow against the systems of this world. These waters, if we can ever learn how to unlock them. Amen. If we can ever unlock them, these waters can override. I don't think any one of us know exactly how powerful these waters are going to be. We already have benefited from them. We already see what they're going to do on the day of resurrection. Even Jesus showed an example in John 11, as we talked about last week with Martha. Oh, yeah, I know. He'll rise again on the last day. Yes, yes, yes. I know the resurrection, the resurrection. Because I am the resurrection. That same Jesus is living up into you and I. Amen. And we see in John, as we walk through, we see it. A fountain that we don't have to thirst again, that can satisfy every thirst. We see Him in John 6 as the bread of life that gives His body for the world. We see Him in John 7 as the rivers of living water under the inspiration and dominion of the Holy Spirit. The Bible says in John 1, the world was made by Him and they didn't even recognize Him. He came unto His own and His own received Him not. They said the world was made by Him and they didn't even recognize who He was. And He was demonstrating the whole time. As Creator in Genesis 2, do you remember how He created the world? So the fountain flowed up and it covered the whole earth. And then He reached through the water and formed man out of the clay and drew him up out of the water. Just like He drew the earth out of the water. He drew man out of clay, but it wasn't dry clay. He had covered it and then He drew him out of the water and He formed him. And then He went, whew, and He breathed life in him. So what did Lord do? He discharged living water out of Himself. Your body's made of water. He discharged living water out of Himself and He mixed it into the clay. He took the clay, He put it on the man's eyes, said, now go in the pool, wash. Nobody had ever been recorded healed blind from birth. that man got healed. And he was demonstrating that I'm creator. I'm the one that made all you people. I made this earth, the chair you're sitting in, I made it. He goes, you don't know who I am, but let me show you the original recipe of creation itself. Isn't that awesome? See, he's demonstrating the water. And then in John 10, he gets and says, I'm the door to this now. I'm going to open the door for you to have all this. I'm going to open door to the Father of life itself. I'm going to open a door that you might have life and have this life abundantly. And then John 11, I am the resurrection. He culminated it and the life. And then he opens it up in John 14, 15, 16, and 17. He opens the veil for us to come in. Isn't that awesome? The whole book of John, everything he was doing in that book was revealing love, life, and union. Man, he caught it. John caught the whole thing. No other writer caught what he caught. He could see the mysteries of God and everything the Lord did. The other ones could see that the Lord was healing and manifesting. But John was seeing why he did it and how he did it. See, he was seeing the how. He was seeing from an engineer's point of view of how these things were being done and why they were being done. Some people will just see the miracle. Others will see why, how. John was looking beyond what was happening. He was looking from heaven's perspective, from the Father's perspective, from the Lord's perspective. He knew it when he laid his head in the breast of the Lord, all that, he caught it. There's no telling what the Lord did for him that day. We know that John caught things that no other person caught. When I'm reading through these books now, the life's coming out. The revelation's coming out. Before it was a revelation we were preaching. Now it's a revelation of a well that we've been given assignment to open. I've been given a mandate. We have been given a mandate to open this fountain. He goes, before you were teaching revelation, I was just showing you the end from the beginning. That's all I was doing in the beginning. I was showing you the end. He showed us a lot of stuff in the beginning. He goes, but you weren't ready to open that fountain. He goes, now I'm bringing you back to the waters because all of this entire right hand of God is in your water now. The crown's in my water. The final day's in the water. Now he's wanting to open that fountain and burst it out. And how are we going to do that? And this is my close. I'll tell you how we're going to do it. We're going to keep his word. We're learning how to do this. You're learning how to stay in Penuel. God's teaching us how to stay in his word. The just will live by faith. We're learning how to stay on something and not walk away from it. We're learning to stand there and we're learning to glean the life from it so we're not tired of standing there. If I can stand in the life of it and stand in the anchor of it and stand in the hope of it, I won't get tired standing there. I can get refreshed from it. If I do it properly, it'll feed me life so I can stay with it until the day it releases. Amen. And now God's opening this fountain and these revelations of the life and the living waters because God intends on bursting this well right outside of us.